Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to wrap up looking at some thoughts about our defeated enemy, that is Satan. Jesus defeated him on our behalf. We couldn't do it. We certainly needed help. And when Jesus came to redeem us, the Bible says that he spoiled principalities, made an open show of them, triumphing over them. It says that he brought the power of Satan to naught, to nothing. It was a whitewash. And then he handed that victory to his church, to his bride, and that's us. And so we've been made to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. And we have this authority and this victory over the enemy. And the Bible tells us that our enemy is seeking whom he may devour. But we're given instructions to resist him, that we can stand against him. And last week we saw in Ephesians chapter 6, we've been given an incredible armor of truth to stand against his arrows, the flaming arrows that are aimed at you, the truth of your redemption. As you walk in that truth and in that reality, God has made it a way for you to be safe from the attacks of the enemy. And so we can see this from a lot of different angles of the New Testament, that not only is Satan defeated, but then we can walk in victory over him. Aren't you glad? All right. And it is so wonderful. Now, what I want to do today is to look at a couple areas that I've found that a lot of Christians have some misconceptions about. Because when we look to the Bible, how many of you would agree that we need to have consistency in our beliefs? All right. So so I'm a husband, and so the Bible says, love your wife as Christ loves the church. So that means that my love is going to be a reflection, a model from what I see in the life of Jesus. All right. So if I believe that, which I do, then that means if I'm going to have consistent beliefs, then I'm not going to smack my wife in the face. Well, why? Well, my uncle did it. Well, because Jesus didn't smack his disciples in the face. All right, so I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to go to the Gospels. I'm going to see how Jesus, and then I'm going to love my wife that way. All right, and because I can say one thing and believe I believe something, but then I'm very inconsistent in my beliefs. Can you see that? All right, so we need a consistency in our beliefs. So Satan is defeated. We've been given that victory. We've been given the name of Jesus. We have this armor, but we need to be consistent in the beliefs that we have about the devil and demons. And so if that's true, then there's some other things that really can't be true. All right, now, before we look into the Word of God, I do want to mention that, you know, all over the world, and it's in a lot of different societies, but there is a belief in animism. And that is that spirits are controlling everything. All right, so before the Bible came, before anybody knew about Jesus, there was this idea that a whole lot of the world had or still has, that what happens, there's a spirit behind it. How many of you know that method of thinking is certainly in Zambia, right? Because I'm not preaching in Madagascar or India today. All right, so this is where we live. This is our home, and so but we have to accept that. And so there is this idea that there's a spirit, and it could be a demon spirit. It could be the spirit of my ancestors. It could be my grandfather's upset, right? Okay, and then there's another belief that someone is maybe those spirits. Someone's calling the shots of those spirits. All right. Someone is sending them to do certain things. All right. And so there is a lot of belief about that. All right. So spirits are doing everything, but then there's a human. We've got to find that human somewhere, because they're the ones that are sending that. Another idea with animism is that there's a shaman, and that is that there's this mediator, that this guy or this lady has power. to intervene in the spirit world. Okay? And if we can just get to the shaman or the witch doctor or in charismatic circles, the prophet, okay, they have power that we don't have to deal with the devil or to deal with these spirits. Now make no mistake, the New Testament, there is an office of the prophet. And I'm so glad that there is. All right. And we want that office to express itself in the body of Christ. But the office of the prophet doesn't act as a shaman. That they have power more than you have power. Because you have the name of Jesus. Now, some of you are thinking, you really shouldn't be thinking. You should just be saying, that's right. Okay. Amen. All right. I was talking to one of our members recently, and they have a landlord, nice Christian lady, and doesn't come to this church, but and didn't seem to be necessarily a religious person, but had some type of beliefs. And so they had a sickness, and they couldn't get over the sickness. And so they spent thousands and thousands of dollars to go to Lagos to see a certain prophet. Okay? Go to this prophet, wait an entire week, spending money all the time. And when they finally see the prophet says, you need to bring the uncle that made you sick. Because if you bring the uncle back, because we can charge him money too to stay at our house in this guest lodge, you know. But bring the uncle back, and because he's the reason behind your sickness. That is just witchcraft. Okay, and yet, unfortunately, this prophet sometimes preaches from a Bible. Okay, but it is inconsistent beliefs. Nowhere in the New Testament do we see that a person makes you sick by sending a spirit to you. It is not in the New Testament. It is coming from a belief in animism. So here's the thing that all of us have to challenge. Doesn't matter where you were born or how you were raised. We don't take the Bible and put a coat of the Bible over our silly beliefs. We take our silly beliefs and we throw them out. And we start with the Bible as the bedrock of all of our beliefs. About money, about marriage, about kids, about jobs, and about demons and the devil and spirits. And so we get our beliefs that way. All right. So we want to look at some of these inconsistencies. All right. Again, our enemy is defeated. We've been given a place above him. We've been given the name of Jesus. We have an armor of redemption. All right. So 1 Peter 5:9. Haven't found it. You can try for the next one. Okay. 1 Peter 5:9, resist him, that is Satan, resist him steadfast in the faith. James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So very quickly, one of the things that I see that sometimes is inconsistent in our beliefs is, so Jesus mentioned many times when he was healing, and the woman with the who had been stooped over, and she had been this way for all these 17 years, he said, whom Satan has bound, all right? And so the Bible is really, really clear that sickness is not a mysterious blessing from God. It is literally from the pit of hell. Sickness, the origin of sickness, all right? And I tell you what, if you've ever seen people sick, if you've been at a bedside, you would realize that is not from the hand of our Father God, okay? But sometimes we don't resist the devil because we don't know we should. All right. Sometimes people believe, unfortunately, that everything that happens in my life, the traffic jam, load shedding, the argument I just got into, everything that comes into my life is Father filtered. That nothing that happens in my life happened unless God wanted it to happen. Okay. In my opinion, if you read the Bible from cover to cover, you just can't get that idea. You need somebody else to help you get that idea. All right. Because if everything that is happening, all right, kind of this fatalistic, God approved it, he stamped it, it's okay for your life. All right. If that's the case, then he wouldn't ask me to resist the devil. not ask, command me. Because why would I need to resist something that was approved by God? So if I'm sick, I just say, thank you, Lord. This is going to all work out. No, the Bible says, resist him. Remember what we saw last week? We're putting on this armor and we are standing against his wiles. Well, you better know what are his wiles. You better know what's in his arsenal. Amen. Now, again, sometimes, you know, you may have your, you know, someone that loves you and they say, hey, can I talk about this? I've noticed you do this and it's not so good. I stand against the wiles of the devil. No. That's actually God. All right. Don't stand against that. Welcome that as wisdom and love and care. Amen. All right. So we have to be really, really careful what we're standing against. All right. So if everything from God was approved, then we wouldn't need to stand against the enemy. We wouldn't need to resist him steadfast in the faith. We wouldn't need to know that when we resist him, he will flee from us. Jesus told us, whatever you bind is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose, loosed in heaven. So there's a responsibility that we have in this process. Now, remember, obviously, we stand in the power of his might. There is no power that we're conjuring up. It is all in the power of the name of Jesus. Amen? So you and I must take a stand in our personal life against everything from Satan's kingdom. Sin, temptation, bitterness, envy, sickness, debilitating poverty and lack, unforgiveness. All the things that don't come from the kingdom of God. Let's resist that. Amen? And let's allow the kingdom of God to be built into our lives. All right? So he purchased our victory. Now, another inconsistency that I see when we talk about the defeated devil, and he is defeated, is that many, many Christians have a very real fear about being cursed. All right? That if something bad happened, okay, and that the first place that a Christian goes to is, where did the curse come from? All right. This is because I lost my job because of a curse. And I see sometimes Christians have two sources of these curses. Is one that there is someone alive on the earth that is doing that to you. All right. Or secondly, there is a curse that's coming from your family. All right. From your bloodline. Okay. That you had a relative that may even be passed away, but they did something or they opened up a door or they were involved in something, okay? And their sin, maybe even if they were involved in witchcraft or something like that, but that curse is now lingering and it is affecting you today, all right? Have you ever heard that idea, okay? And Christians really, really live under this fear. All right. So again, the Bible says we want to resist the enemy. We want to be aware of his devices. But we also need to know what the devil is not doing, because we could get so busy fighting an enemy that doesn't exist. It's a false idea of what he's doing, and then we don't really take the stand that we should against his kingdom. So let's look at this idea that someone living on the earth, all right, so they don't like you. And have you lived long enough in life that there are people that don't like you? All right, now I know some of you are saying, well, I don't know who they are. Okay, but they do exist. All right. How many of you know not everybody liked Jesus or Paul? Okay, so in following Jesus, all right, there is going to be an element of suffering that while I'm obeying Jesus, because I'm obeying Jesus, that people aren't going to be happy with that. And they're going to say ugly things. All right, and maybe there is someone that goes and sees a witch doctor, says something or does something. They're trying to make it bad for you through a spiritual source. Okay? Well, that happened in the Bible too. All right? And I want you to turn to the book of Numbers. All right? The book of Numbers. And thankfully, the whole book of Numbers is not Numbers. All right? But it is description of what happened. Some of it with Moses and Joshua and the children of Israel. All right? And so this was the time of Joshua's leadership. And the children of Israel had crossed over the Jordan. And they were making a wide path to Canaan's land. And so God was with them. And so armies that stood against them, those armies lost consistently. All right? And so there was a king named Balak. And he was the head of the Amalekites. And he actually recognized, wow, God is with them. And as long as God stays with them, I am not going to make it against this army. So he went and got a prophet and paid the prophet money. That's called the way of Balaam. And it's that you have to pay for a prophecy. Okay, and it's actually denounced in the New Testament, the way of Balaam. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. As soon as anybody, I don't care what they put before or after their name, if they're asking for money, for a blessing, or for a prayer, or for a healing, get out of there. Get out of there. Fast, 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 fast. Okay, because it is 100% unbiblical. All right, but that's another sermon we'll do later this year. All right. But it is sad. People who are desperate sometimes do anything. All right. So Balak says, all right, I need to get a prophet for hire. He finds somebody named Balaam. All right. And he says, hey, if the price is right, let's try this on. But thankfully, Balaam had enough of a conscience, all right, that he would only prophesy what the Lord showed him to prophesy about. All right. So he still had some level of sensitivity. All right. So Numbers 23:17. So Balaam, he's the prophet, returned and found the king, that's Balak of Amalekites, standing beside his burnt offerings with all the officials of Moab. What did the Lord say? Balak asked eagerly. All right. So the strategy is, I need you to curse Israel. All right. You're the shaman. You're the guy with power. You can do this. And I need you to conjure up a spiritual something against Israel, against the people of God, so that they won't keep winning. All right. So what did he say? This is the message Balaam delivered. Rise up, Balak, and listen. Hear me, son of Zippor. God is not a man, so he does not lie. Whew, that's a good statement. He is not human, so he doesn't change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Listen, I received a command to bless. God has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Okay, so what is that? So when God has blessed, there is not a man, even with a lot of power, that can reverse that blessing. It is impossible. All right. Now, friends, this happened under what Hebrews tells us is the old covenant. It refers to it as an obsolete covenant. All right. It is a lesser covenant with lesser promises. We have something better than this. And guess what? It is still true today that when God has blessed someone, you can't curse it. You can't reverse it. All right? I cannot reverse it. Verse 21. No misfortune is in his plan for Jacob. No trouble is in store for Israel. For the Lord, their God, is with them. He has been proclaimed their king. God brought them out of Egypt. For them, he is as strong as a wild ox. No curse can touch Jacob, the people of God. No magic has any power against Israel. Talking about consistency of beliefs. For now it will be said of Jacob, what wonders God has done for Israel. It's like, okay, you got this fridge magnet, right? Or you're going to get this fridge magnet on your way out. You have to stick that on metal. All right? If you try to stick it on wood, it doesn't stick. Try it when you go home. It won't work. Okay? Try to stick it on your clothing. It'll fall off. That is exactly what the Bible, everybody say the Bible.
Bible.
Oh, but Pastor, my auntie, we really love your auntie, but she didn't write the Bible. Your auntie's experience is not above the Bible. All right? And if it is, then your auntie just needs to give us the revised auntie version of the Bible. No, the canon is closed. The Bible, it's what we have to get our beliefs. All right? And so, when someone, if they really, really do try, like Balak, try to put a curse on you, it's like a magnet on wood. It doesn't stick. Curses don't stick to believers, according to the Bible. According to the Bible. Well, Pastor, maybe I opened the door. Okay, wait a second. But remember this, all right? If God has blessed, no one can reverse it. All right. So Israel in the Old Testament, they stayed blessed by keeping in the covenant. And here's the bad news. It was really hard to stay in the covenant. It didn't work too well. So God gave us a new covenant that's not based on our adherence to the law. Jesus adhered the law for us, and now we put our faith in him. So how do I enter into this new covenant? Faith in Jesus. Plus nothing. Faith in Jesus. Amen. Then as I have faith in Jesus, there's all this wonderful fruit called obedience and love and doing all these awesome things. All right. But I am in the covenant because of what Jesus did. I put my faith in him. I'm in covenant. All right. Look over at Ephesians chapter 1. We kind of started in Ephesians, remember? Looked at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 1:3 tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's good. God is blessed. All right. Who has blessed us? Tell your neighbor, that's you. All right. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. There we are. We're seated with him. We're positioned with him. We're identifying with him. So what do we have? Every spiritual blessing. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So he chose us, and in his choosing, he blessed us. Okay. What God has blessed, no one can reverse. Another translation says no one can curse. All right. So you have to be aware of the blessing that you have in Christ Jesus. And if there is an evil person, all right, and maybe just like there was with Balak, all right, there really might be an evil person that's cursing you. Well, what should you do about it? Just remind yourself, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Well, but best, what else do I need to do? Well, what else did Joshua do? Nothing. The Lord had received a command to bless. Amen. What did Paul do? Nothing. He just lived his blessed life. Hallelujah. We don't need to go find your uncle who made you sick and bring him to Lagos. We don't need to do that. You're still thinking, I think I do need to bring my uncle. No, you don't. Somebody that was brought to Jesus who was born blind, And the Pharisees, it wasn't necessarily a curse. It was more about sin. Who sinned? Who sinned? Did they sin? Or was it their parents' sin? Who did it? Jesus said neither, that the glory of God would be revealed. And he healed that guy who was born blind. Amen. The glory wasn't in the blindness. The glory was in Jesus manifesting his glory and healing him. So Jesus didn't even respect their question enough to answer it. Okay. Well, let's do an investigative. We need a forensic prophet. No, you need the name of Jesus. You need to know you're blessed. You need to know I'm seated with Christ. You need to know you have been given his authority. Hallelujah. There are no such thing as a forensic prophet. Okay. Sorry to burst your bubble. Okay. Galatians 3:9 says, so then who are of faith, well, that's me, right? That's you. How did we become Christians? Through faith in Jesus Christ. So we are of faith. We are blessed with believing Abraham. So we're blessed in Christ. We're blessed with Abraham. Curses do not stick to the blessed. Amen. Now, you know, some of you might be thinking, Pastor, you are a Mzungu and you don't know the stuff that happens in Zambia. All right. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary. 23 years of those have lived. We've been living in Africa. I am not an American that got off the plane last week. Well, Africa is beautiful. Oh, I just love it. I'm not one of those guys. All right. I'm not ignorant. Okay. So I think 23 years has given me the right to talk about some of these things. All right. But more than 23 years, the word of God. Amen. All right. But here's the thing. Witchcraft is not unique to Zambia. Spirits and curses. It's all over the world. It's everywhere. All right. And the devil certainly doesn't have more stuff going on here than he has somewhere else. All right. So we don't have to worry about people cursing us. All right. Now, the Bible does say, bless those who curse you. So if you do find out, just bless them. Amen. Bless them. Hallelujah. All right. Now, the other fear that people have that I've seen is that they feel, well, maybe it's not that person in the other cubicle that looked at me funny the other day that they cursed me. But maybe it's my bloodline. Maybe it's my family. Okay. And people get this idea. All right. In Exodus 20, it's in one of the Ten Commandments. Don't make yourself a carved image. So don't do that. Don't have idols. All right. And then God says that he will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. All right. And they say, oop, there it is. There it is. Yeah. I'm in this third and fourth generation. Well, okay. First of all, we're not under the old covenant, but keep reading that verse. All right. He'll visit the iniquity of the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Whoa, wait a second. I think it's possible that my great, great grandfather hated God. It's possible. And I'm pretty sure on my mom's side, definitely, there were a few people that hated God. That's okay. Yeah, I know that. All right. So, but I don't hate God now. So what about me? But showing mercy to thousands of generations, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Oh, that's me. That's my part of the verse. Oh, so he's not visiting the iniquity of my grandfather upon me because I don't hate him. Oh, I love him. I keep his commandments. What do I get? Mercy. mercy, mercy, mercy. Okay? Now here's the other thing. That was under the old covenant. All right? That was under the old covenant. When God was revealing himself to Moses, he made a similar statement. He says, I'm going to show mercy. This is in Exodus 34:7. I'm going to forgive sin, but I by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Okay? So again, if you are in Christ, if you are a God lover, you are in the new covenant, that if we go back to those scriptures, then that means I am under a 1,000 generational blessing. I am blessed. My kids are blessed. Okay? So again, but see, you and I, we are under the terms of a new and better covenant. And so what happened, Colossians tells us, and we read this, that when we were born again, something happened. And so, yes, our sins were washed away. I mean, there was a lot of things that happened. But one of the things that was told about us is that we were translated. We were taken from the kingdom of darkness, and we were translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. All right, so we got a new passport. We don't have dual citizenship. We live in another family. We have new blood running through our veins. We have a new spiritual DNA. Now, I still have my dad's hair and his brown eyes and his loud voice. And I've got my mom's really, really white skin. Thanks, Mom. Okay? I don't have their spiritual DNA. I don't. I have the spiritual DNA of my father. I was born from above. Born, and the Bible talks about the seed of God. The seed, the nature of God gave me my spiritual condition. And so the fact of the matter is, so in my family, if I go back and look at my family tree, oh my, there's some interesting stuff back there. There's some bad stuff back there. There's sins back there. Oh, but I need to chop them, cut them, remove the bloodline. I need some really awesome oil, like superpower oil. Okay, I need that. And I'm going to draw a line around my property. And I'm going to go back to my father's house and put oil there. And no, don't need to do any of that. I just need to look to my spiritual DNA that says I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Divorce is not in my new family. Lung cancer is not in my new family. Cheating on wives, it's not in my new family. Amen. I know of two husbands who don't go to this church. God bless these two guys. All right. If I saw them on the street, I'd shake their hand. I'd say hello to them. All right. But this appeared over 10, some of this was 15 years ago. And they had marriage problems. All right. How many of you are married? Do you ever have marriage problems? Like this morning, yesterday, right? Okay. So they were really frustrated. And both of them told me, Pastor, it's a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem. Now, the funny thing was, it was never a spiritual problem with them. It was a spiritual problem with their wife. One of them even went to the extent of casting a demon out of his wife. Okay? Who was born again, wonderful woman of God, doesn't play with the Ouija board. All right. There are more demons in this microphone than there were in that woman. Okay. But here's the thing. If we pass it off to our grandfather, then that means I'm not responsible. It's a spirit. It's in our family. You know, and then and here's the thing. I wish it was just as easy to cut, snip, 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 pour some oil, have a happy marriage. No, marriage means every single day of your life, you crucify your filthy, selfish flesh and you put someone else's needs above your own. And there's no oil that's going to help you with that. You've just got to yield to the love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart. Amen. And we got to renew our mind and we got to get smart and we got to go to marriage conferences and we need counselors and we need help. Amen. And we need to admit that we are not as smart as we think we are. Oh, how I wish I could just break the power today. No, there is not a spiritual force from your family that is pulling you down. There isn't one. I really, really believe, this is just my opinion, I believe generational curses to New Testament believers is one of the greatest charismatic theological scams of the last 100 years. God bless Derek Prince, but man, did he mess up a lot of charismatic Christians. Okay? There is not a generational curse on your life. No one has to break it. No one has to snip it. Okay? You are a new creation. Think that way. Live that way. If you've got some hurts in your hearts, if you've got some fears, if you've got some good bit, hey, God, boy, he loves to heal the brokenhearted. There's an anointing in the body of Christ to do that. Here's really how you change generations. And we're running out of time, but in the Old Testament, there were good kings and bad kings. Mostly bad. All right. When you count them up. All right. And pretty much close to the top of the list was a guy named Manasseh. And Manasseh was a bad, bad motor scooter in Judah. And he actually desecrated the temple and brought occult heathen gods and altars into the temple of God. That is not okay. The Bible says he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Manasseh had a son named Amon. You know what Amon did? 2 Kings 21:19. He was 22 years old when he became king. Verse 20. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. Well, obviously he saw his dad do it. He learned bad behavior. All right. I learned a lot of good behavior from my parents. Then I learned some other stuff. It's my responsibility to renew my mind that there's a new way of living. There's a new way of doing marriage. There's a new way of raising kids. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, thankfully, Amon only lasted 2 years. His own guys killed him. All right. His son was Josiah. Josiah was only 8 years old when his dad got killed. So he became the king of Judah. All right. And 2 Kings 22:2, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Folks, that's how you reverse a generational curse. Not by going to the top of a mountain, not by getting a cloth from your grandfather, not going to Cobway to the rock of authority. No, you go to the rock of Golgotha and Calvary to find your redemption. And because of that, what do? You do what is right in the sight of the Lord. And all that sin that's in your generational past, it stops with you today. Not because I'm saying it, but because you are doing it. You are thinking that way. You have made a new path. Amen? So friends, don't worry about the unseen curses your family may or may not have given to you. That is an unbiblical, it is not anywhere in the New Testament. And how many of you know all the people that got saved in the New Testament, they came from idol worshipers. They came from incredible occult and horrible practices. And what did Paul do? He said, he never told them, go get your genealogies. Let's go back. He said, but now. He told them who they were. He told them what Christ had done for them. He told them over and over and over and over again what they have and who they are in Christ. And now, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Amen. There's a new generation that is starting with you. And be very, very careful that we don't do what Jesus did. Mark 7:13. So you cancel the word of God. in order to hand down your own tradition. Well, Pastor, yes, you see, you know, I love Jesus and everything. I do. I love Jesus. I go to church. I like Jesus. I like that miracle life, happy clappy church. I do. I really do. But when my daughter gets married, we're going to do these occult practices because, you know, of our family that's from, you know, oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sure God understands that. No, he doesn't understand it. You've canceled the word of God by handing down your traditions. Now, your tradition of how you put your hair on and what kind of a skirt you wear. And there's a whole lot of traditions that God doesn't care. Amen. Right? I'm not to bet you. That's a cool tradition. Amen. My wife would have definitely passed that test. She cooks awesomely. Amen. She does. She would have passed the test, right? Awesome. So that's fine. So we've got traditions that are not, that don't, the Word of God doesn't speak about those things. All right. How long is the funeral? Went to Ghana. It's for months, months and months and months that they wait to bury. I mean, whoa, man, that's interesting. All right. Well, the Bible doesn't say one way or another, right? Okay. But there are traditions that we have. Okay. So there's a tradition in my family. Relax. Have a drink. That's a tradition in my family. It is going on strong today in my home. My family. So, God says, don't get drunk with wine. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. All right, so I've got to chart a new path. All right, and believe you me, there are many, many days I want to relax. Woo! Yeah, I need to relax. All right, but that's not the avenue I use to relax. Why? Because I'm not going to allow my family to pass that tradition. All right. And I'm so thankful for certain parts of my family. My mom who said, hey, stop. It's stopping with me. I'm not passing that on to my sons. So thankful. And I'm not going to pass on other nonsense to my kids. Amen. All right. 1 Peter 1:18 says, knowing you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, which you received by tradition from your fathers. A lot of our aimless conduct we learned in the home we grew up in. All right? We just have to admit it. And we love, honor, respect, treat with incredible love our family, but we don't accept their unbiblical traditions. Oh, the auntie is going to get mad. Oh, I know. Isn't that sad? Sorry about your auntie. But when you die, you're not going to stand before your auntie. You're going to stand before your crucified Savior. And you're going to give him an account. All right. So that's something to keep in mind. Amen. Hallelujah. High ransom was paid for us. And so we don't have to worry about unseen curses from our family. What we do have to be aware of is unbiblical traditions of our family. It didn't get into our blood. It got into our thinking. This is how you treat a woman. This is how you treat your husband. This is how you handle money. No, that's where we need the renewing, the metamorphosis of our mind. Amen. Oh, and then you'll be able to discern the good, the pleasant, the perfect will of God for your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we're free? Live free. Think free. Conduct your life as free men and free women, free from the bondage of the enemy. Amen. Whom the Son has set free is really free. It's free indeed. We don't have to worry about all these other things that people are trying to lie to us about. Amen. Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus. Father, we were so stuck. We were so messed up. Oh, thank you, Father, that you didn't leave us in that aimless conduct. And Father, our life that was headed nowhere. And Father, thank you that you chose us. And you've chosen us in Christ that we would be conformed to his image. And Father, I thank you that's happening in our life. And Father, we yield to that happening. We yield to the Holy Spirit of God, who desires to make us look and think and act more and more like Jesus Christ. Father, glorify yourself through our lives, through our families, through our decisions. Glorify yourself through our money. every part of our life, may you be reflected and seen. And Father, thank you so much. We don't have to worry about our defeated foe. Father, we take our stand against him in truth and in light with the full armor that you've given to us, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're in this place. And you say, Pastor, you know what? As you're talking about the family of God, I'm not in the family of God. You see, friend, all of us, when we were born physically, we were born separate from God. You were born into a natural family. And that's why Jesus said you need to be born again, a second time, a spiritual birth that does not happen from coming to a church. It doesn't happen from being baptized as a baby or going to a class. It doesn't happen if you're a really good person and you're very kind and moral. That's not how you get born again. You're born again when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. He died for you. He took all of your sin. He was raised from the dead so that you could have new life. You make an individual choice in your heart to say, Jesus, be my Lord. I choose to follow you for the rest of my days. I lay aside this crazy life I've been living, and I follow you now. The Bible says you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. You'll be brought into the family of God. All those things will change right now today. And if you say, Pastor, I'm not born again, but I know I need to be. Well, friend, today is your day. If you're far from God, maybe like the prodigal we read in the Bible, you're far away from God, but you know what? You can come home to him. You can come home to him. If that's you today, say yes to Jesus Christ. Take those steps. Your Father's waiting for you. I'd like to pray with you, and you say, you know what? That is me. I need to give my heart to Jesus. I need to come home. Wherever you are right now, simply lift up your hand. Wave it at me real so I can see it. Wave it high. We want to pray today. God's going to come through in your life. Thank you so much. He's going to give you brand new life. Forgive all your sins. Thank you. Over here. Thank you. Over there. Over all the way in the back. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. I just encourage you, have the courage to say yes to God today. To say yes to Jesus Christ. Be a part of his family today. Anyone else before we pray? Thank you. Thank you. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet today. Oh, he's so good. He's so wonderful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you lifted up your hand and you say, you know, that's me. I want to be in the family of God. I want to give him my life. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Just go ahead and just step out where you're seated. Grab whatever you brought with you to church. Come and meet me up front. Come and meet me up front. We're going to pray, and you are simply going to become a new creature, a new person in Christ Jesus. Yeah, let's give him a big hand as they're coming. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Fantastic. Sometimes in a moment like this, you might think, well, what are people going to think? We're going to think you're so smart. We're going to think we are just making the best decision of your life. God bless you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Amen. Now, awesome. Come. Fantastic. Thank you, sir. If I wanted to give you this Bible, how would you get it? You would just reach out and get it. So what God has for you is a free gift. You can't pay for it. Jesus paid for that. But we do receive that gift with our faith, trusting him. So I'd ask you just to lift up one of your hands right now and just say these words with me. Say, God, I believe you love me. You sent Jesus for me. You raised him from the dead. I leave my sinful life. I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in your family. You're my Lord and Savior. When I die, I'm going to heaven. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. Fantastic. Awesome. Thank you, ma'am.